Well, New Jersey, good morning. Man, was that incredible? All the moving on up. We thought in our section we were actually going to sing the "We're Moving On Up" song. We didn't quite get there or plan that for this morning, but wow, what an exciting month, you know, for so many graduating and moving forward, moving onward and upward in our lives. And I think I'm actually going to get one of those rugged, handsome Bibles too. Those are really, really awesome. It is great to be together this morning, and I wanted to just take a moment to introduce a very special speaker that we have this morning. We have a really special man that is going to be speaking to and preaching this morning, and I think he's from Africa, just looking at his wardrobe. I'm not quite sure. He'll probably explain to us where he's from. But in Psalm chapter 1, it says this. Psalm 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he or she does prospers." This passage really describes to me the man who's going to be speaking to us this morning, because his life is really marked by just extraordinary dedication to God and his word, extraordinary dedication to God's way. And you can see it all throughout his life, because he is a very blessed man. And he has really enjoyed the great blessings of God, but it's not because he's anybody special, so to speak. It's because he's done it God's way. And has been devoted to doing it God's way in his life. He's got an extraordinary sense of service in his life, a dedication to God and his people. His earnestness and his sincerity stand out. He loves the New Jersey church like no one else that I know. When there's a funeral, he's there. When there's a camp, he's there. When there's a wedding, he's there. When there's a teen hangout, he's there. You know, it's really been an honor for me to be here in New Jersey, and one of the very special parts of that for me is getting a chance to work side by side with this brother. I love your family. I love your legacy, Larry. I love your heart of sacrifice. I love your integrity. I love your character. You're an extraordinary father, an extraordinary grandfather. And so I really think this man is worthy of double honor, and I really want us just to appreciate him as he comes forward this morning to speak about financial faith and sacrifice. Let's give it up for Larry Craig.
It worked a while ago. I got a green light on. Oh, there we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Oh, boy, now it's loud. I have one announcement that's really important to somebody, and that's there's a red Toyota with the lights on. MFG69X is the license tag. All right, I am grateful to get to speak today, and thank you for Steve asking me, and appreciate those things that he said. I'm so grateful for Steve and Sue and their being here, and I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. It is an exciting day, moving on, moving up. I know we had three grandchildren in that ceremony, moving to the next place. It's just an interesting place in life. I'm not sure how we got here so fast sometimes. We're going to have our 50th anniversary in August, and that's pretty exciting. And you know where we are in life. We've got a grandson, 20 years old. His brother will be 18 next month. It's just pretty crazy. I'm made aware of it all the time. You know, I grew up in the South, and I was taught to open the door for people. To open the door for women, especially for people who are older than I. I've noticed people consistently open the door for me now. It got to be really challenging when it was young women holding the door open for me. But this week I had a new experience. There was a man way beyond middle age that waited a long time to open the door for me. It's like, I can do this. Thank you. And I do want to mention that those of you who are moving into being teen parents, don't miss the opportunity to get your kids a Solid Rock. It's once a month. It's way up in Lehman College in the Bronx. So many of you, I've been going to Solid Rock for many years to meet with the parents who bring their kids there. And now I've got kind of different role because I've become one of the designated drivers sometimes. Last night, I took a teenage grandson and his two friends to Solid Rock. And you know, that means you go to Wendy's afterwards. There's a Wendy's in Fort Lee. You come across the bridge before we disperse to various parts of New Jersey. I will say, getting there last night, the George Washington Bridge had many demons, but coming back was better. But there we are. It's so inspiring. That Wendy's is completely taken over by us. I don't know, 30, 40 teens there from New Jersey. And a bunch of parents. I'm the honorary grandparent there. I have to admit, I kind of felt self-conscious as the grandparent. I didn't want to be the first one to say it's time to go. And fortunately, there were a couple of families that left. Like, okay, well, I guess we can go now. No, but it's so inspiring. Please get your kid to Solid Rock. It's so worth it. I got to say, Lisa Donovan, last night, because Catherine was up here graduating, Lisa said, I've been going to Solid Rock every Saturday for 11 years. Ian, this one over here, Ed. Now, I mean, you know what? You can graduate now, Lisa. But we have such a special opportunity in so many ways to learn, to grow, to make a difference in other people's lives. And of course, I am going to talk today about our opportunity next week and that special contribution. I do need to read this announcement again. I know you hear it every year. It's important we do this because the IRS wants to make sure you know what's happening with our money that we give. So that's why we read this so you know. So bear with me a minute and then we'll move on. We are pleased to announce that the annual special contribution for the New York City Church of Christ will be collected on Sunday, June 9th, 2019. Thank you. The Congregational Leadership Group has decided to use the 2019 special contribution collection to fund the most significant projects of merit for the New York City Church of Christ. These projects are as follows. You put that chart up while we're doing this. Thank you. International and U.S. mission programs and church plantings in Africa, the Caribbean, New York Ministry Training Academy, Strength and Weakness Ministry, and others as the need is determined. 1 week's contribution for the weekly budget, and finally, any remaining funds will be allocated to the general operations of the New York City Church of Christ. We have an opportunity to make a difference in people's lives. People that, as Guy mentioned in the video, we may never meet except in eternity, but we can make a difference. We get to support people in very significant places. I'm glad we had the thing up there, Albany. We didn't have Evelyn. Jim and Evelyn lead the church. Evelyn's parents are right here. Wave at everybody. They're part of our group. Lead the church in Albany, as well as the Smiths. We provide the bulk of the support for both those people. Africa, you can see on the chart. This is the percentage of the breakdown, but let me give you a couple of numbers. The New York City Church of Christ sends to support the works primarily in French-speaking West Africa about $154,000 every year. We're the biggest supporters. The Caribbean, we got some Caribbean folks here. It's about $257,000 that we send primarily for Haiti and then some to Jamaica and Suriname. We are by far the biggest supporters of the work in Africa and especially the Caribbean. We have a historical legacy for the works in Africa and the Caribbean. And I'm excited we get to do that. We care about missions. I heard about a family recently who travels a lot, particularly internationally, because they give electronically. They always, of course, keep giving here. But when they're visiting a congregation, they put in the basket there what their weekly offering they already gave is here. Just feel like, hey, there's something we can do to help people. We have a responsibility and obligation. You know, I want us to look at 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And it's obviously an understatement to say there's no way I can improve on what the Holy Spirit had Paul write. So I want to read all of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And you can follow along on the screen or in your Bible or just listen. We remind you that the New Testament was letters meant to be read aloud to congregations. They didn't have a screen to follow along with. They listened to it. This is really significant because this is a special contribution that was being collected. And so Paul's mentioning this in this letter to the church in Corinth. There was a need, a famine in Judea. And so money was being collected throughout Macedonia, throughout Greece, by people who didn't know the people in Judea. But they were taking up a lot of money to send to them to help them. And I'm going to make 2 points. There are just about 40 points in here, but we won't go through all of that. But I do want to read this, mention a couple of things, and let the word speak to our hearts today as Paul talks about really the heart of helping people with our money. All right, let's begin in verse 1 and, you know, remind you that Bible wasn't written in chapters and verses. This is a letter, but this is where this thought starts. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urged Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And here's my advice about what's best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now, finish the work so that it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you're hard-pressed, but there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty may supply what you need. Then there will be equality. As it is written, He who gathered much did not have too much. He who gathered little did not have too little. I thank God who put it into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift, for we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. In addition, we're sending with them our brother who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love. And the reason for our pride in you, so that the churches can see it. There's no need for me to write you about this service to the saints, for I know your eagerness to help, and I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year, you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brother in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you've promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, in all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest of righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. In their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I want to mention two main things. Number one, God will take care of us. And number two, God's given his all for us. There's so many things I wish I could say about this chapter. I encourage you this week, read through this chapter. There's some profound things said. Giving is an important part of Christian life, giving financially. Paul says you excel in these other things, faith, excel in giving. He says, think about what Jesus did. He makes a very sobering statement that financial giving is a proof of our love. Wow. You know, in verse 9, beginning 1, he says, God's going to take care of you. You cannot outgive God. He said, you're going to have everything you need all the time when you're putting him first with your money. You know, it's interesting. I mean, God's taking care of us here. I know the Garden State Church will respond. We always have. God is taking care of us in so many ways. You know, after about 25 years of being a lot of different groups, we came together and made one New Jersey region. And since that time, there are 100 more of us than there were then. We had about 540, and now we got about 640. Why? Because we're just trying to get bigger? No, because we want people to know about Jesus. You know, when we came together, we had 9 college students. We had 11 graduate this morning. God has blessed the campus ministry. You know, I appreciate, last week Rob shared about going to Atlanta for a big conference about 250 college students from around the Southeast and the things he learned. I appreciate his humility, because what he didn't share is he was asked to go there to be one of the keynote speakers. Because, you know, the campus ministry at North River is really the premier campus ministry in our fellowship right now. And Tom Brown said, you know, Rob and Chelsea are doing something I want my kids to know about. And we're grateful for that. So many things have happened. You know, we've seen Shauna become a Christian, met on campus, now in the ministry. We've seen Matt and Mark go into the ministry. We've become a training and sending place for young leaders. We had Sam Lee go to Queens to work with youth and family. Charles Duvall's gone to the Bronx to work with the campus ministry. David Tabling's gone to Syracuse to work with the campus ministry. So many other things have happened. So many of you have become Christians. Here we are from, you know, Hoboken to Hackettstown and Bergen County down to Baskin Ridge. And we're embarking on the next step. I'm so grateful that God has brought Sue and Steve here. They're just the people to take us to the next place. But this planting Christ in every community. You know, for our guests, we're going to be meeting 3 times a month in some geographic groups. Not because we're tired of driving, you may be, but the reason is to plant Christ in the community. And then we'll come together here once a month. We're committed to seeing people in New Jersey become Christians. God has blessed us. God has given us everything we need because we have tried to sow generously. But as Paul talks about this, I think he's talking about the collective church, that if they gave as they had committed to giving, God would bless them. God blesses us personally when we put him first with our money. It is just a promise. It can be a little weird in a way to talk about all of the times God says, if you do this, I'll do this. It seems like, well, I just want to give because it's the right thing. Well, yeah, but God knows how we're made. So he says over and over again, if you do this, I'll do this. That's kind of how life works. You know, when you go to a job interview, you may not be able to ask the question, but it's foremost in your mind, what? How much does this job pay? I mean, I love to work, but I don't want to just work and just for the sake of working. promised reward is a significant part of our human psyche. And in this passage, like many others, God says, you give, I will give you everything you need. He didn't always say everything I want. That's a whole nother lesson, isn't it? But everything we need. You know, this 10 times is a sacrifice for some. We were kind of in a routine of what we were doing, and we're calling us to go to another level. And it may be taking some sacrifice. I don't know about you, but there are things in life I just want it easy. I was driving one day this week, and I saw this big billboard advertising a doctor. It said, Dr. So-and-so, spine surgeon, minimally invasive. I don't know much about surgery, but how is a spine surgeon going to do minimally invasive surgery? It doesn't work, does it? But what it's saying is, I know, guys, you want it. Okay, we're going to try and make this easy for you. It may not be easy, but we have an opportunity not only to show a proof of our love, but really our faith in God's promises. And I encourage you to read through this again and how often God says, everything you need, I will give you when you give. I think Mary Lou and I learned this a long time ago when it comes to special contribution. You know, many of us in our fellowship have been given special contribution 30, 35 years. A long time. One of the early ones, we didn't have any money set aside. We had three kids. We didn't have any savings. Don't recommend that, but it's just kind of where we were in life. We had set aside about $1,500 for our son to go to college. Now, that's not going to go very far. This is more than 30 years ago because he's 48 years old. I don't remember how it came about, but our goal was about $1,500. And that's all we had, and it was supposed to be for Brian's college. I don't think I've ever told him this story. And we decide, okay, we're going to give it. Somehow it's going to work out. It's going to work out. I don't know how. 2 or 3 weeks later, Mary Lou's father, who knew nothing about all of this, let us know he had decided to give all of his 17 grandchildren some seed money toward college. And he was giving Brian $3,000. Wow. That's double. Not only that, he was giving Angie $3,000 and Holly $3,000. And I'm like, my $1,500 produced $9,000 there from the Lord. A lot of you have those kind of stories. Because God promises to take care of us. And the second thing, and if our ushers are getting ready for communion, we're going to take communion in just a moment. God will take care of us. Let me tell you, though, where we stand. Last year, our goal was $225,000. We gave $240,000. Amen. Amen. Our goal has increased with this 10 times our weekly offering. Because we're a generous group. So our goal is $250,000. We did that anonymous pledge thing, came up to about $210,000. Should I be worried? No. Yeah, we've never pledged the amount that we were supposed to give. But you can see we need to think a little more, pray a little more, dig a little deeper. And we can do that. We always, always have. And some of you have lots of stories about giving and God blessing you. But the second thing, Paul makes this statement as he's talked about money and giving. Verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Wow. What's Paul saying? Look what God gave for me. Look what God did for you. Talk about a gift. God gave his son so that we can have so much. You know, I appreciate Steve's encouragement so much. I was thinking, we just are in the beginning of June. I've been to 10 funerals this year. That's a couple of months. A few of them are people I was very close to. One of the only three people living before she passed away that I've known my whole life. That's kind of where I am in life. And one of those remaining is that uncle has Alzheimer's and I'm not sure he really knows very much. Some were your family members, relatives. A lot of different places in life. A lot of different walks with God. But here's something I heard over and over again in eulogies and people sharing. Every person wants his life to matter. People don't always understand how it really can matter in the big picture of things. But I believe God put that in us because we're created in his image. We want our lives to matter. And it's interesting, you know, what we put in the contribution plate every week or goes electronically or what we give special contribution is just another way our lives matter. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. We're going to take communion in just a moment. The cross is the greatest motivation for our lives, what Jesus did for us and what God did for us. And at some point, as we are taking communion, we're going to sing a song, I Give Myself Away. Very powerful song. You know, usually we try to end the service really upbeat, some powerful song, let's go. God, I am a man, make me, you know, all those things that we sing that are awesome. But today we're going to end very reflectively. Because communion, Paul says in the 1 Corinthian letter, is a time to examine ourselves and really recommit ourselves. Not just about special contribution next week, but how we live our lives. And so we're going to take the bread and we're going to take the cup and then we're going to sing, I Give Myself Away. That is our response to the cross. And I'll pray and we're closed. Let me pray now for our communion. Father, thank you for what you've given us. Father, we want to show our gratitude in practical ways, but thank you now that we can reflect on Jesus' body and his blood. What you gave for us, what he did for us, we know that we can't fully understand it. But we're grateful. Thank you that we can take the bread and we can take the cup and remember what Jesus did. Bless us as we take it now. In Jesus' name, amen.